Hello, everyone. Welcome to Game Over, an extra special episode that's basically just me, because Simon is stuck in traffic. So I have roped in the host from the previous show, Neil.
Hello.
To sit here and listen to me rant at him until such time as Simon gets here and wrestles the mic away from me.
I'm here to make sure he doesn't say any spoilers. That's my duty today.
Yes, very much so. I don't know. I'm gonna stretch my legs in the studio because usually Simon does like three quarters of the talking. but unfortunately, he knew all the news. So, but I still have something to talk about because Simon and I finally got our hands on the new God of War. And since he has been feeding his Mass Effect addiction, I've been the only one playing it. And so I haven't played that much. I think I'm probably about 3 or 4 hours in. And it's been an interesting experience. First impressions were actually not good. I thought it was sticky and just clunky, and it didn't feel like a God of War game.
Control?
Yeah, the control-wise. It was just, the combat was, and they don't tell you everything right away, and I started on difficulty setting 3 or 4, because I'm like, I've played this game before, I can do this, and the first enemies in the game handed my butt to me. Like, it was not close. So I went down to difficulty 2, and then everything was fine, but it was weird, because the first fight, all they tell you is strong attack and weak attack, and I'm like, okay, this is a God of War game, right? That's all I'm going to need.
That's all you really have at the beginning.
Yeah.
Because this is good, because I've also only played about the first 3 or 4 hours. So yeah. We're on the same page here. That's good.
But then, like, in the next fight, they go, oh, here's your shield and your dodge. And I'm going, that would have been useful in the first fight when there were 3 of them, and they don't seem to fall down when I hit them like normal mooks do. It took a very long time in the game for me to actually feel like, oh, this is a God of War game and not, you know, a generic action game that someone has slapped a Kratos skin onto. But the story is good. I've heard that a lot, and it's true. The story is excellent so far. I'm not as big into Norse mythology as I was into Greek, so I'm a little more lost than I was before.
I'm the opposite. I like Greek mythology, but like...
So did you know who the first boss was on site? Because I didn't figure it out until someone name dropped him, and I went, oh yeah, that makes sense.
I haven't. I got an idea. I mean, I was really big into like mythology when I was in like grade 4, and I haven't seen any like the Thor movies or anything, so I haven't had the refresher. But I think I don't know. I'm not going to say
Have you heard his name yet? Did someone tell you?
No, he's still the stranger.
Okay, so you haven't. So I'm a little bit ahead of you then, because I've heard his name, and as soon as I did, I went, "Oh yeah!" From what I know of mythology, that's an interesting twist on that.
That's good.
So I'm glad that made sense, because when the stranger first showed up, I was like, "What the heck is going on here?" So that was interesting, and then, but I did like that. Like that was sort of the first boss fight with the stranger is really cool, because you do get to see sort of Kratos show off his more godly abilities. There's a bit I really like. It's about 3/4 of the way through the fight when the stranger like throws you across a gorge, and you take a couple deep breaths, and you see all Kratos' wounds close, and your health goes back to full, and I'm like, that's more like it. Because up until then, like, you're not really acting like a God of War, and I wish there were more moments like that. Like the Spartan rage thing, which is the rage of the gods in this one, I felt that was kind of underwhelming. Like, it's really short, it feels like, in comparison to others. Although I guess you do get to upgrade it, so that's probably why. And you're just running around punching things. You're not nearly as overpowered as it made you in the other games. Mm-hmm. And it's an RPG now, which is weird.
Skill upgrades and
upgrades and equipment upgrades and crafting.
Yeah.
And I'm like, did we need all this in God of War? I don't know.
So welcome, for me personally, it's a welcome addition. I like not so much the skills, because I have a hard time deciding what I would utilize best when I'm like just reading it, until I like invest the points or whatever. Then I get it. I'm like, oh, I'm not going to use this.
And then it's too late now.
But I like the equipment. I like the equipment.
Yeah,
generally.
It's interesting. Like, you don't get too much of it, which is nice. You're not overloaded with loot that you have to then get rid of. And the upgrade system is fine. Like, it's a little disorienting with how much there is to do, but I think it's fine. I'm going to get used to it eventually. And I think sort of what's going on is that they left Kratos more room to grow, because you see the stat bar, and your strength starts at, like, 2, and there's a huge amount of room for it to grow. So I'm going, okay, maybe once that gets up, I'm going to start feeling more like...
It's going to feel good.
Yeah, an actual God of War. But there's one moment which you, I don't think, have gotten to yet. Have you gone to Alfheim?
What is Alfheim?
Okay, so no. You're the Norse mythology guy. Yeah. You know that?
It's been a while. No, I've been to, like, the part on the boat. I've done that, and I've come back to, like, the gate. and I'm pretty like I walked through the gate,
yeah,
and then I put it down and I bought Monster Hunter.
Oh, okay, so that's the place that's you Elfheim. Go through is Elfheim.
Okay, so I'm not quite there. So, okay, you can talk.
Yeah, so what I've basically done then is I've done Elfheim and come back, and that's okay. Where I stopped.
Okay.
Or actually, no, I'm not quite out of it yet. I got the thing I went in to get.
Okay.
And I'm coming back out.
Okay.
And there is a sequence right before you get the thing you're going to get.
You can say it. Right? I mean, if you don't mind talking about it on
I'm
air.
Just trying not to spoil it that's for everybody good, else good. Who's listening. Because it doesn't really matter. But the point is, you're going in there to get the light of Elfheim. And just before you get it, there is a sequence where you are running up essentially a narrow bridge with your son in support. And that's the first time you feel like a real god. Because up until now, the fights have been quite difficult because you're severely outnumbered. But you just like start throwing people off bridges, and it's all gameplay. It's not a cutscene, so it's actually yeah. So I was playing that, and I was like, "Oh, this is better. This is more like it." So I was really enjoying that. The story is really growing on me. I was kind of worried because I'm sort of over dad games.
dad of boy, I've heard this.
Yeah,
game
dad of boy, exactly.
I just love memeing on the boy thing.
Yeah, that's very much what it's been. But this one's been okay. I mean, it starts off like all dad games start. The mother is dead. The dad now has to take care of the child. That is a minor spoiler, but not really.
Not at all.
it's growing on me. The boy is interesting. I can never remember his name. I just call him boy.
He's boy. It's fine. His dad calls him boy too.
Yeah, exactly. So, I like that all the journal entries and all the lore entries are in his handwriting. Mm-hmm. So you get to see a perspective on that, like the way he thinks.
Especially the lore I really like, because it's like, what is this?
And it's like what mom told me. And like, this is what I know about dad and doing this.
Yeah.
And I mean, I knew from the trailer that Kratos had been hiding his godly status. Mm-hmm. And so, of course, I'm sure later in the game there's going to be a big reveal about your son being essentially either a demigod or a god, because we don't really know what the status of your wife was. Mm-hmm. And
she's dead now. So.
Yeah, she's dead now, so presumably not a god, but she's also. It sounds like he met her here in Midgard.
Right. That's so why presumably he's got, like, she's the connection. To
yeah. Presumably she's a human. But we don't know, at least not yet. I can't remember her name. We found it out and I've forgotten it. That's how much she comes up, is I have no idea what her name is. But we've met a major NPC in The Witch of the Woods, which
yes,
you know.
I know her.
She's very entertaining. I like her a lot. So I'm hoping we see more of her. I'm hoping that she did not, in fact, die.
I mean, I'm almost certain she didn't. If you're attached to her now, right at the beginning, presumably she does die. That's a safe assumption, right?
That's true.
if they purposely write her to be like an appealing, funny character, then she's probably going to die.
Yeah, but I don't think she died yet. I think when I saw that scene, I was like, oh, she just got pulled back to Midgard. She's fine. Okay. And like the boy is freaking out and Kratos essentially went, yeah, no, she's fine.
It's too early. It's too early. Yeah.
yeah, exactly. It's too early. It's not emotionally gut punching enough.
Not yet. Just wait for it.
But I really like the pacing of the story. One of the things I do like about it is that it's very linear. But it has, like, there's some exploration to it. So you technically can free roam around, but really you're pointed in mm-hmm. one specific direction, and backtracking is kind of difficult because they have a lot of points of no return.
Yeah.
Although they do have teleport spots. So it's like, if you really want to go back and scout something out, then you can. And I'm going to take advantage of that eventually, because one of the other things I really like is, have you picked up collectibles yet?
Yeah. Like, there's all sorts.
I really like that. Every area has a distinct set of collectibles,
yeah,
so you
absolutely.
Can know. When I got a new one, I went, oh, crap, I missed a bunch of the old ones.
Yeah, because I'm in a new area.
Yeah,
now.
Exactly. Yeah. So that division is really cool. That's a really neat way to
it's
do
really
that.
It's really subtle. Yeah, it's good. Yeah. It's good.
It's so I don't think God of War, at least so far, has done anything particularly new or interesting, but it's taken a lot of old tropes of games like it and just done them particularly well.
Yes.
And that's... That collectibles thing is a good example of that. And yeah, Kratos' dynamic with his son is pretty interesting. It keeps going on about him not being ready. I'm not sure what exactly he's not ready for. He says the journey, but I suspect there's more to it than that, than just going up the mountain and throwing his mom's ashes off it.
Maybe. We'll
which ostensibly, by the way, is the main plot. But you clearly know that is going to get sidetracked. It's just a series of roadblocks to getting up this mountain.
On topic of the boy and the RPG system, I like that the boy is not entirely useless as a support character.
Yes,
like
that
he
is true.
Starts off pretty useless, but just in terms of his upgrade ability, like his skills and everything, I found him like particularly like you can call him to do certain things or yeah. distract. I found that really useful, especially when you have like you get into these battles and you got like 10 guys yeah. at once.
He keeps shooting the people I don't want him to shoot, though. Like, we're not... Kratos actually says it out loud when he's asking about how to be helpful. He's like, shoot the people that I'm not fighting so that they don't come after me while I'm busy with one guy. And every time I push the square button to tell him to shoot, he shoots the guy I'm fighting. It's like, no! I got this one! You get the other four!
Maybe that's, like, a thing. And, like, as he levels up, he'll become less useful or less useless. And
yeah.
Like, oh, that's what he meant. Okay.
I mean, I do really like his... I think I've probably upgraded him more than I've upgraded me. Because his upgrades are really good.
Yeah, and jumping on people's backs and
yeah.
stuff.
And, like, you're low on health. He'll just find a health pickup.
That
Thank
saved
you.
Me. When I found out he could do that, I was like, yeah. wow, this game is like, okay, this game's bearable now. Because I was yeah. getting, yeah, I was getting my butt kicked in the combat.
Yeah, in the early going, I kind of got into the groove of it now. I think I've died like once in the last hour or so. But yeah, in the early game, I was getting just, I was getting demolished.
Which I like. I was expecting, like, I played like the original like trilogy of God of War. And I was expecting to kind of be like a real button mash, like you feel yeah. good, but like it won't be too much of a challenge. And I got my butt kicked, like, you know, not the first fight, but a couple fights in, you know, I was kind of still coasting and I was like, oh, it's kind of rude awakening, but it was good. It was nice.
Yeah. Like I think, and I sort of said this to Simon, and I would say this to Simon again if he was here.
Simon, if you're,
I know he's listening. but anyway, no, I said this to Simon at the time is... I think part of my frustration with the early game, I think someone who did this without having played the original trilogy and just sort of vaguely knowing the mythos because
That's
it's
me.
Been everywhere. Yeah. I think those people would have a great time with it. Mm-hmm. But me, I'm like, I played three games with Kratos earning his God of War status three different times.
Right.
I'd like to be the God of War now.
Instead of starting
over.
Yeah.
And there's no like good excuse for it. Like there's no... It doesn't seem like there's any reason that Kratos, like, sure, he's hiding his godly powers, but there doesn't seem to be any reason that he couldn't display them once it becomes apparent that that's necessary, which it very much does. And I like you sort of get it in the fight with the Stranger, but of course the Stranger is also supernatural in some way that I will not specify.
Well, I mean, it's kind of obvious in the first fight that he's supernatural.
Yeah, that something weird is going on with him.
Yeah.
But so you sort of let loose there, but that you don't really, again, you don't really feel like a god except when you're lifting an entire rock or formation to drop on top of him.
Yeah, that's pretty great.
Yeah, that one was really fun. So I don't know. It would have been nice if there were more instances where you just got to let loose.
Mm-hmm.
And I also missed the magic. That was the big thing, is I don't have... Like, the axe is really cool. I love the axe.
The axe is very cool.
I've gotten used to the axe. I don't really miss the Blades of Chaos. I'm okay with that. But I miss the magic.
Yeah.
In particular, just a good AoE system. Mm-hmm. I'm in desperate need of some way to get some crowd control
There's
going
There's some good
on.
AoE abilities. Like, what I haven't played this game enough to fully explore, but, like, each attack has... You'll probably know more than that. It's got like a frost, like a meter to it. Like each attack has like, you know, a certain level in like frost or like raw power. Or the other one might be like, I don't know, but there's
stun is the
stun.
Other one.
Yeah. So I mean, there's definitely some attacks that have more like frost and stun. Than,
yeah.
So I again only played less than you, so I haven't got a chance to. But that comes in again to the kind of RPG aspect of choosing which ones that you personally would fit best in your style, you know?
I gotta get used to fighting more with my hands, because I think a lot of what you're supposed to do is essentially throw the axe, disable a guy, and then go punch somebody else for a while.
Yeah.
And, like, again, I've played three games of Kratos where his weapons were literally attached to his wrists, so I'm not used to not fighting with the weapon I've got.
Yeah, and there's a big, like, there's a separate skill tree for axe and barehanded, right?
And and shield, which is the other half of that,
right.
Which I really like. That bit I like. The shield is sort of works its way really nicely into it.
Yeah, it's very smooth, all of it. Like, yeah, you can throw your axe, you can like beat the crap out of a guy with your fist, and you can like call your axe back and like beat a guy with your shield. Like, it's all very good together.
Yeah, that it worked really, really well. It just felt so nice to when you finally get the flow of it, because a lot of the times I'll also forget what the Quinn combinations are.
Yeah,
it's like, which one's the slam attack?
Yeah,
it's not L2 and R2. It's just maddening.
Another good thing. Yeah, when you finally upgrade a bit, you can like work, because you can like button mash, but sometimes early in the game you hit a button and it, like, you haven't like unlocked that yet.
Yeah.
So once you unlock enough, you can like, even if you don't know what to do, you can just
do
kind of
something.
Mash. It's like,
yeah,
like, I know this button like is generally like a hard attack or something like that. So that works well sometimes.
Well, well, well.
Oh, look who we have here.
Look who finally showed up.
Whoops. Yeah. I don't know what was going on, but I didn't move for about 20 minutes, so I decided to take an alternate route, which... I mean, it worked out because it got me here, but I heard you guys throwing some shade, so...
A little bit.
A little bit of shade, that's
Can't
okay.
Can't deny it.
By the way, I don't know if you gave the shout-out to where Matt is right now.
Oh, I didn't. No, I left
He's
that
actually
for,
for breezing all the cleats of the France soccer team. So that's where he is this week.
Wow. Something new every week,
good.
Huh?
That's we wish
good.
Him all the best. Yep. We hope that he'll be back with us soon.
Yep.
So God of War sounds fun. Looks fun.
Yeah, it is. I'm definitely warming up to it the more I play.
That's good. We'll have to do a field review on it one day. And you've played a few hours of it too, Neil.
Yes, we're very
about
close in playtime.
I'd say he's about an hour behind me, maybe a little less. Mm-hmm.
So maybe like when the Venn diagrams line up and all three of us have finished it, we'll we'll get you back home to talk about the whole thing.
I don't know if you heard, but I got Monster Hunter. That's why I stopped playing it.
So I'm
not going to finish that in a while.
I mean, Monster Hunter, God of War.
Yeah.
I mean, God of War, very much you are hunting monsters, I would imagine, right?
Yes.
Not at the moment, really.
Speaking of hunting monsters, though, one thing I wanted to bring up in terms of you're saying, oh, the combat doesn't feel too similar to past the, I don't know what you call them, but like the brutalities when you just like, in that first fight when you're, what is it? Is it called an ogre? The big guy with like the pillar?
I think that's not an ogre. That's a,
is it a giant? Something
it might
like
be
that.
A giant. Yeah. I'm trying to mix them up cause there are ogres too.
Oh, okay. I know which ones the ogres are. Okay. Yeah. So yeah, the first one that you fight anyways, when you first,
troll.
Like,
there were trolls.
Yeah. When you take him down with like your kind of special.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a couple you can do, but the one I did was so good. And you just like slam his head into the ground and he has these like big tusks coming out of his like bottom of his jaw and they're just like breaking and you're just like beating the crap out of this guy and it feels so like it's essentially just button mashing but like just the animations and like the way the camera is, it feels so visceral. It feels
that's
so
true.
Good
that that's true. When you take down something that's three times your size, then you feel pretty good.
When I did that, I'm like, oh, here it comes, and then like he did that and I was like, oh, this is so good. It felt great.
That was, and fighting the big rock monsters, I think they're called guardians.
Yeah,
that's a lot of fun once you get into the rhythm of that.
Some good combat in this game for sure. That's one aspect I definitely appreciate about this, is that the combat seems more technical. Like it has to do with the camera angle too. I think it just feels like more personal and like more like kind of visceral, right?
Yeah,
it's not as like you're everywhere killing everyone at once. It's like you're beating the crap out of this guy. It's like, oh man, this guy's coming at me, and you're beating the crap out of this guy, and you're just taking it all at once.
How much did you guys notice the one-shot camera, by the way, before we get...
I didn't notice it until you pointed it out.
Yeah, is it one of those things that you have to get pointed out? Or?
Yeah. Yeah, my brother had to point it out to me. I'm like, oh yeah, I guess you're right. The cutscenes, I guess, is more noticeable.
Yeah.
It's very good.
It's that's really neat.
Once you notice it, yeah.
Yeah, then you can't stop noticing it.
Yeah.
But it is like, you would say it's a pro. You know?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah,
no,
absolutely.
No, it's good.
It's done well for sure.
Although, one of the other things I like, just on the terms of little details that they do really well, is the boating scenes where Kratos is telling all those stories.
Yeah.
I kept getting back in the boat just to hear the next one. I had nowhere to go. I just wanted to know what other stories he was going to tell. It was so funny.
So there are two bits of news that I want to get to.
Oh, okay, please do.
Two.
In our last 10 minutes.
In the last, that's okay. So, first of all, I don't know if Neil or if you have watched it. I told you to watch it, but I don't know if you had the time to.
The Uncharted thing?
Yeah, yes. But someone released an Uncharted fan film. Neil, did you see that?
Live
or did
action?
You hear about it? Live action.
Oh, wow.
And starring Nathan Fillion.
What?
Yeah, and I believe his name is Stephen Lang.
How much did that cost?
I have the production value actually looked pretty solid. Yeah, Stephen Lang,
really
the
did.
Guy from the kind of evil colonel from Avatar.
Oh,
was
yeah,
one of the guys.
Okay.
Yeah, so basically, I mean, people can go and watch it. Like, I've seen some on IGN, they're like, exclusive clip of the, Uncharted fan film. It's 50 minutes on YouTube.
Yeah.
So don't watch any exclusive clips. Go
just
watch
go
the
watch
whole thing.
On YouTube,
For the time it took me to get here, late, in that time, you could watch the entire fan film. It's pretty good, though.
Yeah.
I thought it was actually, like, pretty well made. And then it kind of leads off into a more.
Yeah.
I don't want to say a cliffhanger, but it kind of is.
Yeah.
But it ends off, it sounds like it's the first movie.
Yeah.
And so you kind of wonder if they didn't make that and they pitch it to a studio and the studio's like, I don't know, you know, Tomb Raider didn't work. Yeah. Assassin's Creed didn't work. It's like, okay, we're just going to leak this to YouTube. Watch the internet freak out.
And then maybe they'll get funded.
Because that's like two named Hollywood actors that I like knew off the top of my head in this. And the production value looked good. The fights looked good.
Yeah.
It found a good mix of, you know, the dialogue seemed fine. The combat looked like it did in the game. Looks odd.
I liked the bit where they went third person shooter on it. That was really clever.
Yeah. Like they did the same thing that Doom did, but it made more sense here. Because it was like that's how the camera would be in the game, but also it just worked for following him in the battle.
Yeah.
And then they had like a little bit of the archaeology intrigue at the end. It looked good. It looked good. I'm kind of hoping. I've never been a huge Uncharted fan for whatever reason, but I kind of hope that one succeeds.
Nathan Fillion is a good fit for Nathan Drake.
He's perfect. Yeah.
Ever since the first Uncharted came out, people have always been like, it's like their names are Nathan, like just do it.
But in fact, the internet thinks Nathan Fillion should do everything.
That is very true.
I think this most of all, he should do everything.
And
but this
one,
first.
They're definitely
but
right.
Especially
on,
this,
so.
It's one of
I'm
those
with
like
the internet on this one.
When you hear like the perfect actor to the perfect casting or whatever, you know, like in my head, Chris Evans has been the perfect Captain America.
The one that jumps out to me forever is. Patrick Stewart is Professor X.
Patrick Stewart is Professor X. That's another one. And then Nathan Fillion is, to me, he's the perfect Nathan Drake. He looks like the part, he sounds the part, everything's good.
And frankly, just to give a shout out to a lesser named because I can't remember his name, the guy who played Sandman in Spider-Man 3.
Oh, Thomas Hayden Church.
That was out of the comic book.
Good.
He was perfect.
He was better than the movie.
He was much better. That's not a high bar to clear.
Which is the real problem with Spider-Man 3. Not that we'll get sidetracked, but it's because like, if you hear about it, what's his name? Sam Raimi did not want to add Venom to that movie.
Yeah.
He wanted it to be a Sandman movie. And so it's like, if you just look at the Sandman parts, he did a good job.
Yeah.
It's the Venom parts where they screwed everything up. Yeah. So,
but, oh, it's perfect.
Oh, what it could have been if the studio didn't meddle.
Alas.
So I also, the other thing that I'm glad that you guys are both here because you both disagreed with me. Haha.
Oh.
But I put up a poll.
Oh, yeah.
And I've been putting up polls relatively regularly. Some of them get like a couple votes. Some of them get a bunch. This one was one of the ones that got more votes.
Where are you putting up these polls?
On Game Over UMFM, like us on Facebook. Thank you. I usually do it at the beginning of the show, but thank you for reminding me.
Yeah, you weren't here at the beginning.
I wasn't here at the beginning of the show. I don't know what happened. I moved like...
You can do it at the end.
I moved 15 feet in 20 minutes, which is not good. You got to move at least a foot per minute if you're going to make it anywhere.
Jeez.
Anyway, so last week we talked about it, and I'm still not really sure how to deal with that conversation. I've still kind of sorted it out in my head. But basically the idea was, in Mass Effect, as in some sequels... For example, God of War 3, I guess, would be another one, because this is a soft reboot. But if you play the third one, because usually things are done in trilogies, do you criticize the third one for needing to stand on the shoulders of the previous ones? And so you basically said, Adam, if I can paraphrase you, it's not a criticism, but it is a reflection, or however you said it.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember the way.
It is something to consider. It's a consideration.
Yeah, it's a consideration, yes.
Yeah. And basically you said it, because it's easy to, if something's set it up, it's easy to knock them down. And you know what? This week I'm going to challenge you on that. I don't think it's easy to knock them down. I think you still have to nail the payoff. You have to get a lot of credit for nailing the payoff. So actually we had 10 votes, which is not bad. Currently as it stands, it's going to be up for a few more days, people. So go online and cast your votes. We have 3, and I'm going to count Adam because you don't have Facebook. So I'm going to put you in this thing. It needs to be its own thing. So here's how I phrase it. Following our conversation this week, do you think a series needs to succeed as a standalone product? Or is it enough for it to rely on the setups from earlier in the series? Do you think the end of a series, rather? And so 3 people, Neil and Adam included, so I guess 4 now, voted needs to be its own thing. And 7 people were with me and voted.
Right.
Just because it's popular doesn't mean it's right.
All right. People seem to agree. I think it's let me phrase this properly. Considering how many times they screw it up, I think nailing the payoff is way harder than you made it sound. Because in most trilogies, not even like a lot, but I would say most, the third one is where they screw it up. We just talked about Spider-Man 3. Right? The Dark Knight Rises is not as good a movie as the first two. Even if you like that movie and it's okay, it's a better movie than I think people give it credit for, it's not as good as the first two.
Yeah.
Right? The third one is where everyone screws it up. It's hard to get a finale right.
I think it depends very much on the series in question. For example, you said Mass Effect, and I think that's a pretty good example because they kind of screwed the pooch on that one.
Like grand finale, at the very, very end.
The third game was good, but I mean, if it's such a story-driven game as Mass Effect, like, you have all these, you have all these storylines that are intertwining that have been carrying over for two, three already that you have to kind of, so that's a lot of things you have to like
to juggle.
Yeah, you have to juggle and you have to do them well at the end. But I feel like if it's another, I can't think of another example, but a series where each one, you know, there's a continuous story, but they're pretty much like there's kind of like one continuous thread. It's a lot easier for those games to kind of just like sit back, like rest on their laurels and let kind of like the previous games' reputations kind of account for a lot of their shortcomings. If as long as they kind of wrap up the main story,
yeah, the overall thing,
yeah. But if there's like the more that's going on and the more story based there is and more storylines, I feel like the harder it is for it to like it can be more of a third game in the series if there's a lot more going on. But if it's like a less complicated series, then it has to be a better standalone game.
I would agree with that because more boxes to check off, it's harder to check off all the boxes. But
yeah,
basically, actually, you commented on it and I replied, and I think I'd stand by the statement where it's where do you put the onus of the of the reception, so to speak? Do you put it on the game or do you put it on the player? Okay, so no one is denying that the quality of the game will be different if you go in playing the previous ones or not. No one's denying that. It's going to be a different experience.
Yes.
But I think when we're talking about criticisms or considerations or however you want to phrase them, it's where do you put the blame? So if people, usually they bring that up, it's like, well, you know, it's good, but only if you played the first one. When they say that, they're blaming the game. I'm like, yeah, it's good, and you should have played the first one because, like, it's easy to...
Yeah. No, I agree with that.
You should have been invested. This is for the people. Like, they're making the payoff for the people who have put the time in. I don't think that's a bad thing.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I certainly think it's silly to play the third. It's just silly to watch the third movie in a trilogy where you haven't seen the first two.
Yeah.
You don't really have to complain if you do.
Yeah, exactly. If you haven't got the... If they put the backstory out there, you gotta experience that first.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's good that we all agree. I was actually... I'll get my mandatory, since we have 2 minutes left, I get my mandatory Mass Effect reference in. I've gotten to the point in Mass Effect 3 where I'm now in the Citadel DLC, and I'm intentionally taking it slowly because it's so good. But it does... It really feels like, after playing the whole game, like a tacked on chunk. Yeah. And I don't mean that necessarily a bad thing, but like it feels like it was made a year after the game, which it was. Because when you play it, you go in and you kind of do your own section, and then everyone comes back in.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh my God, Tally, like, what are you doing here? Oh my God, Joker, what are you doing here? Oh my God, Rex. And it's like, they were on your ship. You saw them in the game time. Shepard saw them 5 minutes ago. So it's so clearly made for people who are like finished Mass Effect 3, were done with it, mad at it, and then came back later. It's like, oh, they put that in.
Yeah.
But like the detail in that DLC is...
You just wish they put that in the actual game.
Yeah, I wish at the time. I mean, think about it, that DLC came out a year later. Yeah. So that DLC had 60% the development time as the full game did, if you just look at it chronologically like that. That's what's really messed up. Anyway, I know.
We have a person at the door staring.
Farron is just chomping at the bit to talk about a new Netflix show. So we're gonna spend some time doing that. But we'll see you guys. Who knows where Matt will be next week? But maybe we'll have Neil here. Maybe we'll all play Talk God of War. Who knows? Everything's up in the air right now. But that's all for Game Over. We'll see you guys next week.
Bye.